Good morning and welcome to Frankly Speaking. Today we'll be discussing older adults and their need for protection. I'm Helen Ackerman for George Mason University. Increasing age brings with it increasing fears. As older people find physical and often mental powers declining, they fear losing control of their lives. Sometimes they have good reason to be afraid. The abuse of older people is becoming an increasingly apparent phenomenon in our society. With us today to talk about these aspects of aging and the legal and legislative aspects of dealing with these problems is Donna Foster, Director of the Fairfax County Area Agency on Aging, and Roberta Green, Assistant Professor of Social Work at George Mason University. Roberta, just how widespread is the abuse of senior citizens? Is it as common as child abuse, for instance?
Well, really, we're just beginning to compile statistics on the extent of elder abuse. The House Select Committee on Aging recently held some hearings, and they estimate that about 4% of the nation's elderly may be victims of some kind of abuse. To put that figure another way, that would be 1 out of 25 older people, or about 1 million people a year. So that's a considerable number, considering that we probably are under-reporting the incidences at this time.
Donna, what exactly do we mean when we use the term, when we're talking about the abuse of elder citizens?
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, there is physical abuse, which could be abuse by a family member to the older person. But also, when we talk about abuse, we always mean implicitly neglect, too, which can be self-neglect. A person is not acting competently and not acting in their best interest and is not caring for themselves, or the abuse or neglect, rather, from family members, just not tending to the needs of an impaired older person. And then probably the last area, which is something that's really coming more to the fore today, is financial exploitation of families, of older persons' resources and such.
It must be hard, though, to deduce what is financial exploitation and what is just a family trying to maintain an older person and not have their own savings completely depleted by it.
Well, that's true. However, what we're finding through the Adult Protective Services, which is part of the county social services network here in Virginia, is that a lot of times families are actually taking over the resources and using them for their own welfare as opposed to the welfare of older people. And this does get revealed through the investigations of cases. Also, one other thing I'd like to add there, too, is that some families are doing this to avoid, or rather to make the older person eligible for public benefits such as Medicaid. And that kind of thing is illegal.
Is this something that we can expect, the abuse of older citizens, something that we can expect to increase in the coming years?
I think we can, unfortunately, because of the many changes that are taking place in society today. For example, we do have more and more individuals who are living to older ages.
Right.
They're getting more frail as they get into their 80s and need more care. Mm-hmm. They depend on families who also may have scarcer resources, may have the wife also working, and may find that they are under great stress trying to care for an older relative for prolonged periods of time. So we really need to begin thinking about ways that we can address this problem from a preventive standpoint.
Where do we look for this kind of assistance?
Well, I think there are a number of places to look. Donna points out that professional intervention can be important in assessing, first of all, whether abuse does exist, but
That's
it
right.
also can be important in helping families deal with stress early on if they're not embarrassed to call and seek out services that the community may offer. Also within the community are a number of voluntary programs that Donna can tell us about that are very important in keeping the older person living as independently as possible within the community. And those need support from all of us.
Right. One of the things I did want to sort of elaborate on what you said, Roberta, was that most mental health centers, certainly throughout this metropolitan area and throughout the country, offer some special services to older people and their families. For example, here in Fairfax County, the three area mental health centers have seminars or groups for family members with aging relatives. And I think over time, we should encourage the public in general to seek out these services and to sort of, if you will, come out of the closet with their concerns, fears, guilt, and so forth. That really is just, it's a fact that we all have in as our older parents age. In relation to the volunteer programs, we have, and I'm sure most communities have, friendly visiting programs. This can provide an outlet outside of the family for an older person, keep them in touch, so to speak. And then we have a program, which we'll probably talk about it in a minute or two, called the Volunteer Guardian Program, whereby when people unfortunately get to the stage where they are subject to being either declared incompetent or incapacitated by the courts, where volunteer guardians help them manage their affairs. And that helps in particular to combat the cases of self-neglect that we mentioned earlier.
What kinds of situations lead to the abuse of an older person, Roberta?
Well, there's considerable debate now in the literature about what kinds of situations lead to abuse and neglect. But there's a general consensus that stresses of all kinds are the primary precipitants of some kind of abuse. Now, that may involve all kinds of changes in either the older person's life or in the adult child's life. For example, many adult children may be facing their own retirement and their own aging, increasing disability, because the profile of the older adult that may be in need of protection is of someone usually in their 80s. So the adult child is facing a number of concerns themselves. The older person may be losing mobility, less able to get around and care for themselves, and possibly has lost friends and spouse in the way of death. They may be lonely. So there's increasing family problems that all come to bear and close in on families, making it hard for them to cope.
Is it related in any way to social or economic status?
Yes, in some ways we find that the majority are middle class, which is very interesting to us to think about that. But they are faced with not only putting children through college and the economics of that, with many women working, but also increased care of the older person who may not be eligible for some public assistance kinds of programs. So this group is particularly at risk because there's so many demands that come to bear on them.
Yes, I can see that. How do you find out about an older person who is being mistreated or neglected? After all, they're not like children. They don't have to turn up at school for or any other particular place at any expected time.
Okay, your public agencies, again, play a vital role in this, and just as police and hospital nursing staff and doctors have come to recognize child abuse and the need to report that and deal with that, public education is needed to help people in these situations explore with the older person whether physical damage, let's say, that they see has come from family or caretakers abusing that older person. there's often a reluctance to pursue these kinds of issues,
yes.
Just as we found with children several years ago.
Unfortunately, I don't think that the medical community has really gotten to the point of reporting abuse or neglect as often as with older persons as they do with children. I think we find a local phenomena is that friends, community members, are really the most prime candidates, if you will, for reporting suspected abuse or neglect. And as you said, when a crisis situation presents itself, oftentimes the social workers get the word from the police itself.
Mm-hmm. What volunteer agencies do you have that would help in this kind of situation? Any?
Well, there isn't anything specifically set up, but at the time when these kinds of situations come to light at the Department of Social Services, a lot of resources are brought to bear. Many times, if there's any kind of option, they try to remove the older person from the environment. And that's an issue we're working on right now to come up with some safe, supervised emergency housing for people in this situation. But volunteer groups such from churches, the Friendly Visiting Program I mentioned, all can play a part in a supportive kind of way during this period of initial discovery and assessment before a final case plan is made in regard to the older person.
I'd like to add to that, if I may. Just as we had difficulty around finding resources for the battered spouse,
yes.
We are now finding that older people are very reluctant to report or to take action about abuse because they may fear being placed in a nursing home more mm-hmm. than they fear the abuse. So we do have to develop resources within the community, both public and volunteer, that can allow alternatives for the older person. Then I think that there will be more reporting and perhaps a greater willingness on the part of the older person to prevent their own abuse.
Mm-hmm.
What legal resources do social workers have to protect older people?
Well, this would depend on the jurisdiction. Within the state of Virginia and in Maryland, we do have protective service laws. And if the older adult meets the letter of that law, can receive some public guardianship in that sense, with the public institutions stepping in mm-hmm. on their behalf. The District of Columbia is now in the process of forming such legislation, and we hope to see that come to pass soon.
What can someone who is interested in helping with this situation with older people do, Donna? What groups can they join?
Well, they certainly could contact the local social services department, because in all area jurisdictions, they are the one that legally is tasked with carrying out the Adult Protective Services law. And they could also contact the Area Agency on Aging and get involved with the various volunteer opportunities, or we can refer them to those kind of programs.
Donna, Roberta, thank you very much for being with us today. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University, production coordinator Pat Ping. For information about our guests or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. I'm Helen Ackerman for the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.